All right, I'd like to call this public meeting to order. And we will roll call the vote, the board, sorry. Mr. Beaupre?
Here.
Mr. Corson?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
My internet is unstable.
Mark?
You're on mute.
Mark, you're mute.
Here.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Hill?
Here.
And Ms. Damon here, and Ms. Stratton?
I'm here.
Okay, and Ms. Alphon?
I'm here.
Yep, and everybody can hear everybody, right?
Yep.
Good. All right, well, that's the first step, okay? So we got through the first step today. All right, the next on the agenda are public comments from the public that are not about items that are on the agenda. Is there any of the NDEs? And I don't know how many we've got, if we have any. I don't see any.
We have none.
None? Okay. If before the meeting's over, somebody shows up, we can find out if they have something to say, but they're not here yet. So can we move right on to the town administrator's report? Marjorie?
Yeah, I have a couple of things I wanted to just touch base on. I've been working on preparing for the annual audit. I'm assuming that you still want me to move forward with that. The auditors are going to come on October 5th. They're usually here for 2 or 3 days. So should I still plan on that, or will you know more? Or regardless of whether you hire someone, will I still be working with the auditors on October 5th? That's kind of where I'm going, the question I have.
Yeah, I would think that it would be beneficial if you would be willing to be working with the auditors, seeing that you understand what happened during the past year. Are you willing to do that, Marjorie?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that. I didn't want to assume anything.
Okay. And are you comfortable with the auditors being there in the town office with masks or whatever?
I haven't talked with them about the how that's going to work, actually. Now that you brought that up, they might ask me to gather things together and come to them and just drop things off with them, which I have done in the past. So that's a conversation I'll have to have with them. But in an email, he indicated October 5th, like same as last year, that kind of, you know, so my assumption was they were going to come here, but I'll have to confirm that.
Okay, and you can update us at the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
The tax bills went out yesterday. So I did get one call today about the values, and the interesting thing about it is this particular person, the taxes actually went down, but they were upset that the value had been changed. And they had questions about it. You know, when did we do a revaluation? Those kinds of questions. And I tried to field the questions as best I could, and then I referred him to Jackie. I just wondered all that I had gotten one call.
Yeah, so hopefully you won't get a lot more, but I think that was one of the thoughts about sending, you know, putting a letter in with it.
Right.
But hopefully they won't flood you. I suppose that's a good sign.
Taxes down, values up. What's the issue?
I don't know. The other thing I just wanted to put on the selectmen's radar is that Gloria has resigned her position. That was in July. So when you hire the new administrator, there will probably have to be a discussion about hiring another employee. And what that employee would look like kind of depends on the strengths and weaknesses of the new administrator. For instance, do you want to advertise for somebody that has some strong bookkeeping skills? Or would you be just looking for another part-time person? And I've talked with Vika and Chris, and I would hope that you'd continue conversations with them. But I really think that one way or another, that's going to be something that you'll have to deal with going forward. But in my conversation so far with Vika and Chris, they kind of agreed, and I don't mean to speak for Chris, she's here, that it's going to depend on, again, what the strengths and weaknesses are of the new administrator. But there's going to, another employee is going to have to be added in my mind. Anyway, but that's just something for you to be thinking about.
Marjorie, can I ask you a question? Do you have any idea how much is in the budget for that position?
For Gloria's position?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, as you know, as we're looking at it, if there is an area where somebody needs some support, you know, is there money already there that, you know, that we would have available?
So I had only budgeted for 2 days a week.
Okay.
So that's 16,000.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Some adjustment somewhere.
Marjorie, what is her duties?
Whose?
Gloria's.
At the end of it, she was doing a lot of work for the cemetery, but she also did a lot of research for me, and she worked on the website, and I would give her special projects, really, and then she would also fill in at the counter when we needed her. So what we try to do is cross-train everybody so that, for instance, everybody can fill in at the counter. That's a big thing. So if a customer comes in, but I think
you're going to
have to look at the job descriptions and maybe not have exactly what you have now.
I think that's what I was going to say too. It depends on who we hire, what their skill set is, and it may be that it's something even outside the office that person, you know, maybe that person can fill in the gap in the office and that kind of thing, but it may be something outside the office. So it's good to know that we have that money as a little bit of flexibility if we have to have support in some area. Thank you, Marjorie, for bringing that up to us. That's an important piece.
And then lastly, I had a meeting with Bob Halpin from Indian Island Company and David Gruner and Caitlin Gerber from the Shabib and Cumberland Land Trust. And what I came away with from that meeting, I mean, we talked about some things, you know, like we'll do a little bit of grading on that road at the upper part, but I can take care of that piece. But we talked about the fact that the town needs a longer term vision for public access. I think everybody agrees that they want to continue public access to that area. But it, you know, it involves that three-way conversation between the town and the Indian Island Company and the land trust. So it makes it, I'm not saying it makes it more difficult. You just have to make sure that you include those three parties in the conversation. But I really think that through the conversation that I had today, that you really need to have somebody with knowledge and expertise in this field to look at that area and, you know, with the town and everybody, try to figure out what the best plan of action is. You know, it's not necessarily putting up another retaining wall, for instance. You know, but you need somebody maybe to talk with Pete Slavinsky, who worked on that sea level, the vulnerability study that we had done with GP Cod. He was very instrumental in that study. You know, ask him, like, who should we have look at this area to give the town some advice or options? You know, I think that you need somebody to give you what options you have because of the vulnerability of the erosion that's happening there. If you've gone and looked, you can see there's been a lot of erosion in back of the existing retaining walls. The newer piece is in pretty good shape, but still there's quite a bit of erosion happening. And how long it will take to eat into the road itself is unknown. But I think that's what I came away with, that you need to keep this on your radar in terms of looking at a long-term vision and keeping that access to the public. And I think it's going to take some sort of study, and whether you can get grants for doing that, you know. But anyway, that was my, I just wanted to report on my conversation, and I'm happy to write that up in a memo form if you like.
That'd be great, Marjorie, if you could write that up. Thank you. Is there anyone who has a question of Marjorie about anything that she's reported on, or anything that you might have questions about regarding the town administrator? Okay, seeing none. Let's hear from the town treasurer.
That's me.
I know. What a coincidence.
I reported on the audit progress. I sort of combined town administrator and treasurer. I did a report for you on the 12th, right? A budget report, gave you that.
Yes.
Does anybody have any questions about finances or?
I think we might have some questions, going forward in the next couple of agenda items, but nothing specific. I have nothing now. Anyone else have any questions about finance that's not on the agenda? Okay, let's keep on moving. The first item of business is 2183. To authorize the town administrator to sign a contract to buy a cardboard compactor. Whether we do this or not, this is the topic. And Bo is going to talk about it, and then others can chime in.
So me and Marjorie met with this gentleman, I can't remember, I think it was the 18th. Sorry, I'm trying to bring up. There we go. So we met this guy, and I asked him for a quote. I did ask him about what about a, instead of a trash compactor with the container, getting a baler. His thoughts on that was, EcoMaine and Marjorie chimed in on that also, that EcoMaine is quite particular about their cardboard. If it's dirty, if it's got any amount of, you know, like a pizza box in it, whatever's around it is contaminated, and they can't use that cardboard. They can't recycle it properly. So that's how they treat their stuff. Having it in there, having it in a bin, they sort it out. And then they separate it piece by piece. And then the price comparison, he says they're about the same price. So so the quote that I'm assuming you all got, Jay, you had a question about the quote as far as you got two different ones? You're on mute, Jay. Jay, you're on mute.
Thank you, sorry. Page one shows basically 12,800. Page two adds 20. Sorry, I see, okay.
So the
total. I see how you didn't include barging, by the way.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly how much that's going to cost. I don't have an exact price on that. You know, we can count on at least a couple grand for that. That's just an assumption. I also got, I brought Kim Beam up there just to look at the power necessities. I gave him looking for the paper. Needed a certain wattage and certain power.
Average.
I'm trying to find the email. I'm sorry. I thought I printed it. I must have left it at my house. So okay, now I can't find it.
Are you looking for Kim Bain's email?
Yes, I
can. Oh, he said it would be $1,800, but if you wanted to update to 400 AM, it would be 5 or 6,000.
Yeah. And he also, if I remember correctly, also said, basically, as it stands right now, we can connect one more to that power, but you can only run one compactor at a time. If you start another one, it kicks the breaker, and you got to start all over again. So, I mean, to get the ball rolling, we can see about hooking up, you know, to the existing service. And then in the future, when, you know, in the wintertime or, you know, just before winter, when it slows down over there, we can think about upgrading the service. Just a thought.
So, Bo, right now we have $17,870, from what I can tell, in that compactor line in the capital plan that we can spend. And so that gives a def of $501 plus Kim Beam plus the barging.
Yeah.
And do you see any other expenses besides those?
Well, if we don't upgrade right away, yeah.
I mean, we could get by until the next meeting, right? Next spring, till June.
I would assume so. I mean, we can put some markers there, or make sure that Gail's aware and keeps track of everybody. And I mean, it shouldn't be much of a big deal. But I'm curious if it'll eventually do damage to the system. Not being an electrician, you know, if the machines turn and kick the breaker off several times.
So, but isn't Gail the only one who turns on the machine? So she would turn one on at a time?
Customers push the green button all the time.
Yeah. That's my concern, that somebody comes in and she doesn't see them, and they go over and push and turn one of the machines on. And
there's a simple solution. Each one of these compactors has a key in it. Mm-hmm. And if Gail takes keys out, customers can't turn it on. It'll require her to go around, stick the key in, turn them on individually as needed. But, you know, it solves that problem.
But do we want her to do that till next July?
I'm not trying to make the point that that's what we wanted to do, but we're trying to address the issue that we don't have another.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
This stuff that we should have been talking about. a long time ago so that we knew that we had the money available in this year's budget. It's not. So now we have to figure out what we're going to do to try and solve the problem somewhat in the meantime.
So Marjorie, my question is there any money in the transfer station solid waste that could be earmarked or moved around to help offset the cost of the barging or the electrical here?
At this point, I wouldn't dare say. I mean, if you're halfway through the budget and you can see what you've spent, you can look at it and say, oh, we're in pretty good shape here and we're in pretty good shape there. But at this point, I don't see anything that can be moved around. I'd be hesitant to move things around. This is also the year that we have to do that landfill monitoring with Seavey and Mahar. So, you know, sometimes that costs a little bit more than what I have in the budget.
Okay, Paul?
What do we, I'm looking at the budget and I don't have the numbers in front of me. I have I'm looking at the building facilities, 9030. Do we have anything in that one that we might be able to supplement?
Oh, are you talking about the reserve fund?
It's in the capital improvements, and it's under 9030.
Sorry.
It's building facilities.
There's about 5,000 there, and did we put anything more in?
It doesn't look like you put anything this year.
So there's only 5,000.
All right, so what could happen, I want to try to move this along because we've got a lot of things to do tonight. So if you were able to take that 5,000, that would pay for your upgrade in the electrical. And if we took somewhere between 500 and 1,000 out of contingency, the selectman's contingency, we could make this work.
I would rather use the 5,000 to pay for the remainder of the recycling compactor and then pay for, you know, because we'll have barging cost added to that. You're probably looking close to about 20 or so just for that, and then the electrical on top of that. Not the bearing, not the 400 watt service.
You mean without the 400 watt service?
Correct.
We're talking about, but is it going to be 1800 in addition to the 5,000 if you upgrade the system in the beginning?
The power would still be the same. So what he's running is from the Gale's house to the compactor. So the only thing that would change is from Gale's house to the telephone pole. So, and the addition, I don't know if the 5,000 is including the 18 or it's not. I can't remember the...
Donna, Marjorie has her hand up.
Marjorie?
So we did put 20,000 into building facilities. So there's about 25,000 there, but we had allocated that for painting at the transfer station. If you remember, our insurance company has been bugging us about the beams that are rusting and they wanted to have that painting done. And the last estimate I got was around 14,000. So we put 20 in, and there is 5, so it's about 25,000 in that reserve fund.
Okay, so what I'm gonna suggest that we table this discussion right now and give Marjorie time to go back and look at some of these funds, maybe talk to Bo and look at places where we might be able to get the extra money that we need, get a firmer figure on, you know, what the barging would cost and that kind of thing, and then report back at the next meeting. Does that sound like a good way to go with this?
And I'll get a tighter number from Kim as far as if the 18 is included in the 5 and 6 or not.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So by consensus, are we, Marjorie?
Bo, could you just ask him what his recommendation is? It seems to me that it sounds like we should go the whole nine yards, so to speak. But what would be his recommendation?
His recommendation is to go the whole nine yards because we don't have adequate amount of power going to the facility currently. Right now, we're only supposed to run two compactors at a time. We run that third one and kick the breaker.
Right. Okay, so I think we have a path forward, and we'll look forward to hearing the a more specific proposal at the next meeting. Thank you, everyone, for work, Marjorie and Bo's. Excuse me. All right, the next item on the agenda is not really for action, but I just wanted it to get on an agenda and get in the packet so that the people in the community would know where we were with the stone wharf and the dredging. And from what I could tell from where we are with this, we have $100,000, which we thought was enough for dredging. The estimated cost in mitigation for eelgrass, which apparently based on the study, the stone wharf has the largest eelgrass beds practically in the whole island, is about $400,000. And so anyway, that's where we really are, and we don't have $400,000. So I don't want to get into the discussion really about it, but I wanted to know if Marjorie could find out if the board agreed more information about what they're talking about on these moorings, these special moorings that that's one of the options, and how much those would cost. And are they talking about all the moorings around Chabig, or are they just talking about the moorings in the channel area? So if we can get more information on that, I think that might help us. Anybody, David?
You're on mute,
David. Usually the preferred method. I'd also ask that Marjorie check with the Maine Bond Bank to see what the, first of all, if that would qualify for bonding. Second of all, what the rate would be, how long, and what the process would be if need be. It looks like we may have to go to the well on this one.
I think we all agree it's something that has to be done.
Yeah, and, we're not going to, we cannot postpone.
We're not going to rehash what's happened since 2009, but not tonight. But that will be for another discussion. But as much information as we can get going forward, I think is important. And the public needs to know that this is, this is not a made up story. This is real. And we need to get it done at some point. Anyone else have anything they want to say about the dredging? Okay, moving on to, we had a request. We are now on 21-085 to discuss and consider issuing a license to place a power line under Firehouse Road. And just to give background on this, last week, the new homeowners at 72 Firehouse Road, which is the house near the pond, wanted to place a wire under the road. If you remember that house, the wire was very low. And we were getting ready to have the road paved, which was done today and looks great, by the way. And so the board, by consensus, acting as road commissioners, basically allowed this to happen with subject to a written agreement with the homeowners and the discussion of issuing a license from the town to the homeowners at tonight's meeting. And we do have a letter from the homeowners, and I went back and did research from the regarding what we have done in the past. We've had at least three of these cases. where we've done this. And the first was down at the Charlton Road. There was one at the Cottage Road, and there was one on North Road. And we did have a draft for a license. I have the memo from MMA at the time of that we were looking at the one from that was going in a Cottage Road. And they basically said that at the time we were talking about easements, and they said you can't do it, you can't issue an easement, that has to be the town meeting, but that the Board of Selectmen have a license that's revocable. We had a draft policy that was never accepted, but it has a document there that we have used in the past. And my suggestion is that we use that document and finalize this. What it's really, we've already done it. So, you know, kind of make it retroactive. And then at a future agenda, that we actually adopt it as a policy. So that's kind of where I'm thinking about going. I'm happy to read the letter. I'm happy to read the lawyer's opinion from 2010, if you think that's necessary. So I'm opening it up to the board for discussion. Oh, and I'd like to apologize to all the participants out there. I didn't realize that we had participants. And later on, if anybody has a question about anything else we did, please raise your hand so David knows. David.
Yeah, we have about 13 participants, and I'm keeping an eye on them. And anytime a hand gets raised, I will bring that to your attention, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And regarding this, would a motion be in order at this stage to authorize the issuance of the license to place a power line under Firehouse Road? If so, I'll make that motion.
Okay, anybody want to second it before we start discussing? Are you seconding, Bo?
Yeah, I guess I'll second it.
Okay.
I just have a quick question. Since we're in discussion right now, which was the main reason of raising my hand, the fee on the, it's on page 2 of the the road opening policy for the town. There's on, yeah, on page 2 D, there's a non-refundable fee of $200 payable to the Township of Big Island shall be required for each road opening. And what's the purpose of the fee?
I think the purpose of the fee is if we have to have this reviewed by our attorney.
Okay. So just in case there's any paperwork or...
Right.
Okay.
It's like anything, like you have to get a building permit because you might need to talk to the building inspector, or, you know, it's that kind of thing, I think. Christine, well,
like if they're doing the electrical, they got to get an electrical permit.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. It's the same idea.
So.
Christine.
I just need Dave to repeat the motion, please.
Oh, the motion is to issue a license to place a power line under Firehouse Road. Near the residence located at number 78, is that right?
72.
I mean, good guess, 72.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, and Bo seconded. Anybody else have any comments? Jay?
I'm sort of not quite sure where to start. I have no problem with putting a power line under Firehouse Road. This was discussed at the previous board meeting where Marjorie addressed the issue and said, we didn't have time to go through the process to do this. So in between, and the board accepted that, not out loud, but by their silence. So we go, and the homeowner obviously got in touch And three members of this board decided that it was a great idea and that we would tell them that it's okay to go ahead. We have no license. We have no licensing form approved. We've done this completely outside the public purview. Normally, this would be something that was brought up at a public meeting. Didn't happen. It bothers me that we're doing things outside of the public purview. It bothers me that something that was not necessarily discussed but brought up all of a sudden has to be addressed and approved. And I think it's just we're doing this the wrong way around. There's no process. There's no proper procedure. We're just, you know, who do you want to call to get what you need? And that's where we stand right at the moment on this one.
Okay, I beg to differ, Jay. I don't believe Marjorie brought that up at another meeting. She wrote us a Gmail at the beginning of last week. That's the first I knew about it. And at that point, they thought that it was going to be, that they were going to stop paving last week. I do not, Marjorie, did you bring this up to us at a meeting?
I just looked at the August 12th, and there's nothing in my notes about it. My recollection is that I sent an email to everybody saying that I just didn't think that there was time before paving to go through the process. I think I said something like that.
Okay, so
forgive me if I
misspoke. On that particular aspect of it. But, you know, the point is that we're doing this outside the public purview in something that normally has to be done in public.
And I understand that, and I take that as, a valid criticism. I think that we're trying to protect a road and the work that the town was going to do. And we were trying to work with a homeowner on something that we had done in the past. And I agree with you. In retrospect, we probably should have had an emergency meeting. That would probably have been to do. And what we looked for was consensus on the part of the board. And so I'll take that criticism, and I think that we were just trying to accommodate a homeowner in a way that protected the town. And by getting that letter and having them willing to enter into this agreement, we were protecting the town. I think, and I understand your frustration. Bo.
I understand we kind of did it without a meeting, but my view was to do it, to get it in the ground, get the pipe in the ground, and then not allow them to put any power through that and not energize the pipe. And essentially all it is a pipe under the road. Without the policy signed and anything, they're not allowed to hook up their power.
So that's where we are. Anyone else on the board want to talk about that? Okay, so David has a motion, Bo seconded it, that we issue a license to the homeowners at 72 Firehouse Road. Just to clarify, the difference between an easement and a license is an easement is permanent. A license is revocable. Whenever we decide it's revocable. Okay, Jay?
You don't have a license in place. If you're gonna do this and sort of backdate history, you at least ought to get the license in place to start with.
That's what we're voting on right now.
Pardon me?
We're voting on that right now. To put the license in place.
No, you're voting to grant a license that doesn't exist.
Well, you have to grant it, and then you fill out the form.
You have no license you have no license.
You're breaking up.
Remember what you and Marjorie both said was, I guess it's my connection. The point is that both you and Marjorie, I believe, said that this was looked at a number of years ago. Marjorie dug it up. It's never been accepted or anything else. So the first thing, if you want to do this, to have some semblance of doing it the right way, would be to establish the license. After you establish the license, then you can grant the license.
MMA does not say that we have to have a policy in place. MMA says we can grant a license, a revocable license. We have a legal opinion here. It was issued April 1st, 2010.
Okay, whatever.
Donna?
Yes. Mark?
And if this motion passes, the letter of agreement between the homeowner at 72 Firehouse Road and the town agrees that if there are any problems with this installation and the road needs to be dug up, that it will be at that homeowner's expense.
And that's what the license says as well.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
That is accurate.
That's what the letter says.
Thank you.
Donna?
Yes.
Yeah, quick question. The road opening policy, is that an actual policy? Was that ever adopted?
Nope.
It wasn't adopted by the Board of Selectmen. It's not an ordinance. It's not a town meeting issue, but the MMA had said that a town Board of Selectmen has the authority to do it, whether you have a policy or not. I can read that to you if you'd like me to. Okay. It says, if the landowner is happy with a less than permanent license, then the board arguably can give that. But if he or she wants a more permanent protection than the town meeting vote to grant, easement is necessary. So if we're just giving a license, it's something we can do ourselves.
Well, basically, we're just giving permission.
That's right.
Not really.
We're giving them permission, and we're giving them, and they're agreeing to that. If we say we don't want it there anymore, we can take it out. Whereas if you gave an easement to somebody, it has to be you have to go to the legislative body, which is the town meeting, because you're actually giving, you're impacting public property in something that can't be changed. It's like you're selling something for no money or whatever. Does that make sense?
No.
No?
No.
All right, well, what do people want to do about this?
I'd like to call the question.
Okay, the question's been called. Christine, do you want to read that back to make sure you've got the right wording?
What I have is a motion by David Hill to authorize the issue of a license to the homeowners at 72 Firehouse Road.
To place a power line under the road.
Say it again.
Okay.
To place a power line under Firehouse Road.
Okay.
To place a power line, in case you didn't hear that.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor? I'm going to go through the, well, not all in favor, because I'm going to go person to person. Mr. Beaupre.
I'm kind of leaning towards with Jay as far as we don't have a policy in place or any type of anything in place. As far as granting approval, we already did that. Now we're doing it in public that we kind of did that via email. I'd like to see something better in writing. Something that not only protects us, but would protect the homeowner somewhat.
Okay. Are you voting no?
No, I'm a no.
Okay. Mr. Dyer.
I think you forgot Mr. Corson.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking across my screen. Mr. Corson.
I think you're muted, Jay.
We had to read your lips on that one.
No. In case there was any question.
Mr. Dyer?
I'm a yes, because I think we can revisit this as a board and get a road crossing license policy in place for ourselves.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Damon, I say yes because we have a draft license that we can use that, and I agree with Mr. Dyer that we'll put this on a future agenda and adopt it as a policy. It's been the practice. We have had, this is our at least fourth documented example of what we have done.
But
all right.
I just got a quick question. You said that there was four other, there was Cottage Road, Charleston Road, and Cottage Road. What kind of paperwork do we have for that?
They had to do this license. Herb Main had one for putting a solid drain. Was it, Mark, a solid drain under North Road?
Yeah.
And Jim Lunt had one for power. Wasn't it power, Mark? You were involved in that one on Cottage Road. And it was, it was a sewer line under Charleston Road.
Donna?
Yes.
But that was the town of Cumberland, correct?
No, it was from 2010.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. And I just wanted to point out something very quickly without getting too technical. We didn't ask for any public input on this before we voted.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so is there anyone from the public? Well, we've got it. David, are you monitoring what people are saying?
I am. No one has their hands up at the present time.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public who would like to have a comment? I can't even see who's on the public. I'm only seeing us. I don't have a list.
I can tell you who's tuned in if you're interested.
Never mind. That's all right. No, never mind. We need to move this thing going forward. Okay, so the next thing on the agenda. Excuse me, grab my agenda. The next item on the agenda is 21-086, to hear presentation from EMS to construct a decontamination room attached to the firehouse, to hear their plan to fund it. And I'm going to give you some background on this. We had a request from the fire chief to meet with the chief and some of the members of EMS after the chief found out that we had not included a decon room in our COVID grant. And at that point, we need those of us who wrote that grant. So the Board of Selectmen met with the EMS at the firehouse and heard their plans. Mark Dyer volunteered to contact architect Dave Brunner to draft plans, and they met with members of EMS. There's a rough estimate of $50,000 for this project. The purpose is so people have a place to change clothes and shower if contaminated by COVID or other diseases or substances. Currently, they have a small tarp-covered changing room, which is like about the size of a backhouse, if you're familiar with a backhouse. Donna Damon and David Hill, with input from others and approval by Michael Abbott at Maine CDC, researched the restructuring of the grant, of the Keep Maine Healthy grant. So we found out from Michael Abbott, who is second in command at CDC, approved the concept of us taking some of that money and going toward this project. And actually we're going to talk about that in the next agenda item, but if in looking at the budget for this project, we have been able to determine that $30,500 from the Keep Maine Healthy grant to this project. The fire chief has identified $5,000 in-kind donations for this, and $5,000 from the EMS kitty. And we're also recommending $4,000 from the EMS maintenance line, because the state is considering this, because of the size of the project, as a maintenance issue, not a new construction. And that comes up with $44,500. The remaining $5,500, the fire chief has said that they plan to write grants and ask for donations. That would be the funding. $50,000 is probably the outside cost of this room. Mark can weigh in a minute. He's gotten some estimates, but not all the subcontractors have come back with their estimates. So that's the background on this. And if Mark or Ralph would like to talk about this, that would be great. So I don't know who wants to start, Ralph or Mark. If you want to go first, raise your hand. If Mark wants to go first, you raise your hand. Mark?
Ralph has his hand up.
Oh, right. Ralph has his hand up. Okay, Ralph?
Bear with me. My computer connection has been horrible. I am also on the phone, so if it breaks down, let me know. So your numbers, I think, were different than what you sent me, Donna. The total estimate of the cost was $30,000. The Keep Help Me Healthy was $30,000. The maintenance line from the budget was $4,000. We're estimating in-kind donations at $5,000. And then the EMS out of the kitty, out of the donations, was $10,000. That was what you had requested.
Right, but you told me that they didn't want to give that much, and your initial budget had at $5,000 in it. So I went back to your initial budget.
Okay. Well, I'd still have to have the EMS members vote on that. I know they weren't willing to put in $10,000 because that would pretty much wipe out the kitty, and we use that over the course of the year for numerous things to help us with training and everything, and they didn't feel comfortable handing it out. So we would have to go back. I can't, as the chief, I can't just use that money as I see fit. It has to be voted on by the membership.
Well, I understand, but you sent me an email before I asked for the $10,000 that gave me a budget with $5,000 in it that you said that they had voted on.
I don't think it was never voted on. I'm sorry if that was misunderstood, but we have to vote on that. That was
because you had it on a list with the $5,000 in-kind donation and $5,000 from the kitty.
Sorry, you broke up. What was that?
I said the email that you sent me a while ago, and we still had a $5,000 deficit. So that's when I said, well, can you raise it to 10? Because you had indicated that you had polled the EMS people for that $5,000. But that's, you know, but the bottom line is we've got three, and we took another $500 out of something else to give the $30,500. But so, you know, the question is, we can't build something for $30,500 And how are we going to get the rest of the money? I guess that's really it. Or are we going to continue? Mark?
I thank you and Ralph for your financial numbers. And I'm sorry that we don't have, excuse me, all of the pricing in place, but we are working on it. And I think we just need to continue to work on it. The $50,000 is a very rough number that Dave Bruner and I threw in there based on a square footage and a high square footage number so that we would be in a realistic place to start with. I'm hoping that we can beat that number. You know, I don't know if we can, and I don't know that we can yet. But I think the bigger point is, I think this thing can continue, this process can continue to move forward. I believe that we can continue to bring the actual estimates and contractors together and have more answers moving forward. Whether it's 5,000 from here or 10,000 from there or 4,000 from there, or I think can be worked out in the very near future, if I may. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I think that one thing that we have to remember is that the town does not have any other money. So if we took the money out of the maintenance fund, that's about as much as we can get. Marjorie, you have your hand up. Maybe you have some good ideas here.
I just wanted to point out that in the operating budget, I think you're talking about the building maintenance under the fire and rescue budget. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
That $4,000 came from very specific estimates. We usually spend about $1,000 for generator maintenance. We have to have the septic pumped periodically and for boiler maintenance. So I don't know where you intend to take that expense if you're going to take the $4,000 for something else. So I just wanted to be sure to point that out.
Well, I based that on last year that they used that money to help fund the washing machine project, the hooking up the washing machine. So I assumed that if that money was taken from that line, somehow went into that to make up the deficit of that project, that, so, you know, maybe that's not a practical, you know, maybe we're further apart than I thought we were.
I'm just saying that $4,000 was based on specific expenditures. Now, the washing machine money, I didn't have anywhere else to put that expense in the operating budget. So fire department building maintenance was the only place I knew to put it, and I knew it was over budget. So okay. if you want to knowingly spend something out of there that you know is not budgeted, that would be what you were doing.
No, we don't want to do that. Thank you, Marjorie, for correcting that. So right now then, in hard money, we've got $30,500. David?
Yeah, I just want to add to the conversation here a couple of hard deadlines. Number one is the revision of our grant to the Key Maine Healthy program is due by the end of the month. I call that this Friday, or if you really want to be up to the wall about it, it's next Monday. So whatever we decide has to be done fairly quickly. And secondly is if we do decide to proceed, the money has to be expended or at least billed by the end of October, October 31st. So that's another deadline that we need to keep in mind. Thank you.
So I guess the question is, where do we want to go with this? Because the next agenda item is actually reallocating money because there is money to reallocate. Jay?
I had mentioned this to Ralph some time ago. He wasn't particularly happy with the idea, but you can buy trailers that provide what you need. Last time I got involved with that, $25,000 would have more than covered it, probably more now, but $30,000, and I'm pretty sure you could buy a unit with a couple of showers that would be heated and comfortable to decontaminate in. It's not as pretty as building onto the building, but you stick it behind a building, who's going to see it?
So I guess this is kind of in your court, Ralph. What should we be doing?
Well, I tried to get an estimate about that trailer that Jay was just speaking, and I'm still waiting for an estimate. I've emailed the company twice and get nothing back from them. I'd be more than willing to entertain that idea again. Also, is there any chance that we could use the money from the grant to move forward on the project, pour concrete, start blocks, whatever, and if the project's not done, at least we've used that money towards the decon room, or is that not possible?
No, that is possible, Ralph. But the question is, we can't have all of a sudden somebody coming to us and saying, okay, I need $20,000 now when we don't have $20,000. I mean, that's the bottom. That's why we tried to figure out ahead of time, if it ends up costing that much, where the possibilities of places we could get the money. And and it may not cost that much, and each one of those places may not even need to be touched. But it's just the idea that we can't go into an open-ended project because we can't take all the contingency money from the town because we're in a COVID pandemic, and we don't know what's going to happen. And anyway, that's where we are. Mark and then Bo.
I think we should keep moving forward on this project. I think looking into that heated trailer is also a good idea, and I think we should continue to do that. I think we should also continue to work on the addition that we're working on and see where we end up. And I think that we can continue to get prices for building the addition and see if we can get any answers from the people that sell these trailers with showers and keep this thing moving. But I think we're bogged down at the moment with this discussion, if I may.
Yeah, I think you're right. Bo.
I agree with Mark. I said we're talking about $4,000 here, $5,000 here, $6,000 here. We don't even know the exact total that we will need to build this building. So talking about X amount of money is just going around circles. And I also just want to, go on record that I don't agree taking the EMS kitty to pay for a project that's necessity for their job.
Okay, so I guess, so what we need to have is some kind of a motion to the effect that that the town wants us, that the town is authorized. Somebody's got a feedback here. To either construct or buy. Is that trailer thing you're talking about, is that something we would buy?
Yes.
Or is it a lease? Okay, buy. All right, so
you
we need
lease
some kind of promotion. Well, I don't think we can because of this grant. I'm not sure.
It never makes sense to lease those.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it can be a lease. That's why I want.
You build what you want and what you need, and then you live with it and pay for it.
Yeah, okay. So we need some kind of a motion that says that that the Board of Selectmen supports the concept of constructing a decon room at the firehouse.
But
if the Board of Selectmen restructures the grant, to allocate $30,500 to the decon room. So that's, it's like the cart before the horse, but we have to first say we're going, that we support doing it, and then we can look at the grant and reconfigure it. You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, Donna, but we still haven't, how can we have a plan to construct something that we don't have a, what plan we're constructing? I don't know how to explain it.
Okay.
And David.
Just a minute, please, Jay. So Bo, to answer your question, if the town isn't on record as going to build or construct or provide, whatever the word is that you want to use, something, we can't restructure the grant if the town doesn't have a project to restructure it to. Do you see what I'm saying?
So if the motion would just be, I want to move ahead with the construction of the decon room for the
park. That would be fine.
Or EMS.
Right. So do you want to make that motion?
That's my motion.
Anybody want to second it? Anybody want to amend? Anybody want to have a different shot at it?
I will second it. But I guess my question is, so is the motion to construct a decontamination room or to acquire or construct a decontamination room?
I'd be willing to change to what you just said, Mark.
Just a suggestion.
No, that's smart. To construct or to allocate a decon room, I guess, or buy one.
Jay.
Second stand, Mark. Sorry? Does your second stand, Mark?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
My question, David, back to you for a second.
Sure.
Was the deadlines were, the grant has to be amended by Monday at the latest.
That's correct.
And the money has to be expended by October 28th.
We have to at least have invoices submitted to the state for reimbursement.
Oh no, we have to have.
That's the end of October. That's the end of October. I imagine that's a good question. It has to be expenses.
They have to be dated.
Yeah, I think everything would have to be dated by October 31st.
That's it. Does that answer your question, Jay?
Yes, and my follow-up comment is it's going to be very hard to accomplish any of this with that time, with those time deadlines.
All right, any discussion?
It falls back down to what Ralph had suggested. Maybe we start on the foundation, maybe a frame shell and stuff, and expend the money that we got from the grant. And you know, just to expel the money for the grant. And then we can have further talks about the rest of the project.
Christine has her hand up, then I'm going to go to the public.
I'd like to repeat the motion for you guys to confirm. Motion by Selectman Boupre that the Board of Selectmen support the construction or purchase of a decontamination room at the firehouse. Seconded by Mark Dyer.
Yes.
Okay, everybody's fine with that motion? So is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak? We would like to have input if there is anybody there who would like to have comment, who'd like to comment. Like I said, I can't see who the people are, so.
We have 15 David. Attendees, and I'm looking for hands now. Seeing none.
Okay, so I'm going to call for a vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Sorry, no.
Okay, Mr. Dyer.
Yes, and I do agree that it's going to be tricky and difficult to get actual invoices in by then, but I think we can figure out a way to make it work.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon? Yes. That's 4-1, Christine. Okay, now we're going to go on to the next item, which is restructuring the Keep Maine Healthy grant. So this is the background. The town will either construct or somehow acquire a decon room at the firehouse dependent on the restructuring of the Keep Maine Healthy grant, which is, we're suggesting $30,500 and a commitment, okay. Let's see. So that's kind of the background. I think everybody kind of knows the background. We've changed several different items around. At the time that we wrote this grant, we did not know about the decon room needed as a need in the community, and we did not know about the food pantry. Those were two very brand new needs that we did not know. At that time, the food pantry seemed to be on stable ground and didn't seem to be on a radar. We got a request last look at that to think about, was there a possibility for donations? Again, I contacted Michael Abbott. He came back and said, yeah, we really like people to have plenty of food, and we understand food banks are really important, but this is supposed to be COVID-related. Can you give me more information? And I wrote back to him and told him how the whole rationale of what the church is doing is to keep people on the island and not who don't have to go grocery shopping. I have testimonies from numerous people who are elderly who say that this has been saving them. And many people, it's kept people from, you know, having to go to town for a basic, you know, some basic needs. And so he wrote back immediately and sent and CC'd his administrator of the grants and said, this has been approved. So we have been approved if we want to restructure some of this money to go to the food bank, the food pantry. So both of those, we took the initiative to go to the state and ask if they would consider these. So David's going to now, I'm going to turn it over to him, and he's going to tell you about what we're suggesting and how we were able to come up with the $30,500 for the decon. And I think it was it $4,000 we came up with for the food pantry, David?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish I had something to put on the screen for everybody, but the ink is still dry on this, as you can imagine. We've been working on it right up to the last minute. Just going to run down the list of items here. Some are familiar, some aren't. The reason we have extra money is because everything got started late in terms of hiring people. We didn't hire people as immediately. We couldn't. We had to post the jobs. We had to interview people. We had to find them. And the second big chunk comes from the fact that the school got their own money, if you will, to meet their needs. And so that was a big chunk that was freed up. So what's left now is still the $65,482 bottom line, broken down thusly. Communications director and COVID coordinator, $13,000. Staff to control congestion, island ambassadors, $4,250. And that includes passage on CTC to get people over to Cousins Island and help keep things organized over there. We've scratched the compensation for the town administrator and harbor master. Doesn't mean they won't get paid. It means they won't get paid out of this grant. Then there's signage for the wharves, the businesses, the town playground, and CTC. That comes to $963. So you can tell we're getting a little bit more accurate now. Printing of signs and such, $500. Ambassador supplies and welcome kits, $296. Technology, which is a website we're discussing, $5,000. CTC COVID supplies, $3,650. Town of Shebig COVID supplies, $1,689.71. Some of these things have already been received and we're just going to be compensated for. The food pantry, $4,000. Chabig Rec Center COVID supplies, $1,000, which leaves, as Donna mentioned, $30,500 to put towards the decon room. And that should add up, it will add up when I get done with the numbers, to the $65,482 that we have currently awarded for that grant.
All right, so does anyone have any questions of David? Anyone on the board? Anyone in the audience?
I actually...
Okay, we have a question from Jay and a question from Sue Hale.
You mentioned $5,000 for a website?
I can clarify that. There's a bunch of different technology issues that are involved in that, and it's not creating a new website. It's creating, giving more capacity to what we have, as well as hardware and software, and what it will do is the town will be able to shoot out its own emergencies, declarations, the way CTC is doing it for them now, when the town has something that they have to do. And there's several other things that that goes into that technology line.
Okay,
Sue Hale. You'll have to unmute yourself.
Yeah, this is Lila on the machine. Thank you. My question has already been answered by Donna.
All right, then. Eliza Jane would be next. And she should unmute. There we are.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you very much. I was glad to help out in some ways with the budget and looking at it. And I want to say that I think that when we look at all of those line items, it is every single expenditure benefits the town of Chabig. And I think it really uses the money wisely. I'm pleased that we were able to allocate enough for the decon room. So I think if you look at all of the ways that this grant will benefit the town, I think it's in ways that aren't just making things safer for COVID today, but well into the future as well. So I want to say, as a citizen, I really support the grant, and I wanted to thank everybody.
Thank you, Eliza.
Erica. That's like Erica Newman.
Yep.
Hi. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. I just wanted to address Jay's question again to add on to what Donna had said. We used website as shorthand, and that was my fear too, that you would get the impression that we're building a new website. The line item for this, we've gotten a scope of work or a proposal from Emory Agency, which is John Emery's firm. And he's done many Chabig technology assignments, mostly designing websites. But this, to clarify, is to make sure that the town has a long-term emergency system that's compatible with the way most of us get information. So the lowest common denominator, which is probably mobile devices. So it's not a new website. So it's going to be designing a text and an email alert system that everyone can get by the town, for the town. Right now, the way that the largely that we get information is through volunteer channels. So Beverly Johnson's blog and Chip's ShebWeb, which is new to everyone. It also would tie in all the existing things that the town owns now. So the hosting of the website for the town right now is by an organization called GovOffice. And we'd be looking at to make sure that you're maximizing your investment there, just with options. And all of this would be, you know, approved by the town. And then secondly, like we said, looking at the options of creating an email and text alert system, because it's pretty unusual for a town not to have an email alert system. So if there were an emergency today, to not, the town doesn't own the channel to be able to communicate to your citizens. So that's what this is. And again, anything that would be built would be sustainable. It would be built knowing that you have existing investments in your own website, but that it would be scalable down the road were the town to change its website or update its way of using Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, any of those, all of that would be reviewed, but everything would be voted on ahead of time. So nothing would be built without your approval. So I just wanted to clarify that. I don't know if there are any questions about that.
Thank you, Erica. Anyone have a question of Erica while she's on the line? Does that answer your question, Jay? Is that helpful?
That's helpful. Thank you.
Okay, great. Anyone else up there in the audience who would like to comment? See anybody, David?
I see nobody.
Okay, so I guess what we need is a motion to authorize the revision of the Keep Maine Healthy grant to revise the budget as described by David Hill. So anyone who wants to make that motion?
So okay, David.
Thank you very much, Mark. Is there a second?
I second.
Let Bo.
Okay, Bo seconded. Christine, did you get that motion? Chris, did you get the motion?
I've got it. David might want to forward to me the breakdown of the numbers so I can include that.
Sure.
Right now you wouldn't be able to read it, but I will when it's legible.
Okay.
Okay, is there any comments on the motion? All right, anybody in the audience? This is the last shot on this one. No one, okay. So Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Damon is a yes, so it's unanimous. Thank you all very much. The next thing on the agenda is communications. Anyone have a communication that we didn't discuss? All right, seeing none. Is there anyone in the audience who wanted to talk about something not on the agenda? We started right on time and there was no one here. So raise your hand if you want to say something. Bo?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, since we got more participants than when we started, So the Firehouse Road got paved today. The pavement is soft, just so everybody knows. They're requesting not to do sharp turns, which will tear up the tar. It will harden up over time. And then at the edges of the driveway, they will compact because their rollers can't get really close to the edge of the road. They get close, but they don't compact on the edges as good. So I just don't want people thinking that, it's a bad job. It is a good job and it'll stiffen up over time. Going on that way, I just want to let people know that when the town has a sign out that says there's a road construction ahead or that they're working in the road, to slow down. We had I've noticed a lot when we even closed the road that we have a sign posted that the road is closed. When that's there, that means the only people that should go on that road are the people that live on that road. And then it stopped from other traffic, other people from going on that road. I've just noticed that when the road crew's working and stuff, the traffic doesn't slow down. 30, 35 miles an hour going past the crew. And I just would like to request, you know, be aware that the crew's working and please slow down. Thank you.
Thank you, Bo. Anyone else? No one else, David, from the audience? Okay. Nope. So moving along, to approve the minutes from August 12th, 2020. Can I have a motion, Mark?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from August 12th, 2020.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, David's moved by Mark, seconded by David. Anyone have any comments about the minutes? All right, seeing none, I'm going to call for a vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon, yes. All right. Is there any other business that we need to take up tonight before we go into executive session?
There's a warrant here for you to complete and sign.
For tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so there is a warrant. So at this time, we're ending the regular session of the Board of Selectmen meeting, and we will be going into executive session pursuant to 1 MRSA 5405-6A to review the applications for the new town administrator. Do I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded by Mr. Dyer and Mr. Hill. Mr. Beaupre?
Could you, did Christine write the right number down? Because you said 1 MRSA 5405.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for picking
up. I just want to make sure that Christine got it right.
Okay, 405. I transposed numbers. 405A to review the application. Thank you, Bo. And did you vote yes?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Damon is yes. So we are now in executive session, and we would like to thank Dyer? Everyone who came.
Mr. Dyer's a yes as well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't care.
Marjorie.
Sorry. I'm just getting on the record.
Will somebody just take notes for Chris about coming out of executive session? And then
I will. I'll do that.
Okay.
So Marjorie and Chris, thank you. And we have a couple of people in the audience who will be elevated, who are part of